It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul Hamilton, Sabres reporter, part-time baseball broadcaster. Paul, you might have gotten the Bison's Game of the Year.
And I got very lucky because all the I got everything. I got, like, when the Bisons came back, they're behind 5-1. I got the 3-run homer. I got the homer to tie it, and I got the homer in tenth inning to win it. It was those were my innings, so I got very lucky. Where poor Pat sat there and watched me do all the other stuff.
I mean, you consider that luck? I don't. I feel like that's probably preordained. These are Paul's innings. That's probably what they talked about in the on deck circle.
Well, it's so much fun because it's different for me, you know, to go do baseball and stuff. So I appreciate that last year they started asking me to do it, and it's a lot of fun to do.
We've got some Saber stuff to talk about, starting with Rasmus Dahlin, and I would say this is really good news, a relief.
Yeah. He talked about it today. You know, Lindy, as I told you, is very brief with stuff, but Dahlin was watching practice from the bench. Ryan Johnson was there, but, you know, Ruff said he's doing well and he'll miss, quote, probably a couple of days of practice, but it's nothing too serious, is using his words.
Good.
You know, it sounds like he should be fine.
Yep. You know, yesterday your mind might have raced to the possibility, especially with the, you know, it's the first few minutes of the first practice, like kind of a symbolic possibility for a Sabres team that's had so much trouble, but not so. So that's good. And the timing is important here, right? Because if he had some kind of an injury that would have cost him, you know, weeks or something, maybe he doesn't even go to Europe. And, you know, signature star, maybe he still would. I don't know about whether he would still go, but we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and, you know, in my mind, probably the next captain. I mean, yeah. Lindy Ruff has not come to me and say, well, this is who I'm going to put as captain, but I'd be rather surprised, and you know not much surprises me. I'd be rather surprised if he's not.
Me too.
But, you know, and especially, you know, Adams talked about how he went golfing with Dahlin and he wanted to spend, like, the two of them just 4 hours picking his brain and talking and things like that. So, just to me, everything points to him being the next captain.
You are seeing now, too, around the league, teams are making those announcements. Like, Hedman in Tampa was one. Mm-hmm. Like, camp starts, the season starts. This is the time where you would announce that. It doesn't have to be right now, but I would think the Sabres would make that announcement, like, any day.
Well, Lindy Ruff, and I get it, too. You know, he talked with players and stuff in the offseason, but now he's got them in practice, and, you know, it gives him a chance to see their habits and those things. And he won't – when Dahlin's practicing, he won't be disappointed. If he's thinking, well, I'd like to at least see him practice and that kind of thing, it won't change his mind to a negative thought. I mean, Dahlin practices better than anybody on that hockey club. And he will call people out in practice. It annoys him to no end if people are not practicing hard. So if that's all he wanted to see, Dahlin will definitely be the captain.
No other injury stuff to talk about?
No, not yet. it's been hard practices, Mike. I don't know if you saw the picture of my article, but it gave you a little insight to practice. Lindy Ruff standing over six guys doing push-ups is the picture on my article there.
Yep.
And that's what it is. Why are they doing push-ups? It was a bad change, and he wasn't going to put up with it. So he stopped practice, told him to get on the ice. They did it down and back, and then they did push-ups.
How many?
I didn't count them. I'm sorry.
Okay. 10?
Yeah, I apologize.
Would be a good, maybe a good guess. Is 10 a good number?
So, yeah, it might have been more than that. It might have been 10, 20. I don't know. Somewhere in there. And that's – and. It's been very consistent for 2 days now. If you go offside, the whistle's blown. If you commit a stupid penalty, the whistle's blown. Just things that he is not going to put up with. And I'll tell you what, I was standing there as they were coming off the ice today, and they were dead tired. They were dragging. You know how social media will, you know, do things with the Bills and the Sabres and that kind of thing. And some of the players really weren't too interested today, not because they didn't want to do it or they're being jerks. I mean, they wanted to crawl into their stall.
Yeah.
they were just dead tired, because the Sabres are great about that stuff. They I think they enjoy doing that, some of that stuff too. It was just they were just dead tired.
You know, we've talked even yesterday about a new time here for the Sabres, hiring a coach that you want to have give you something that the last coach or coaches didn't, and you know, rough credibility, discipline, structure. I talked about this already today, how I think that all makes sense. And I think also, for what it's worth, fans like this from their coaches. They like the idea of players being punished for mistakes. You know, a lot of people resent the money. It can extend to that point. But either way, this is kind of a change here, maybe a big one for the Sabres. And I've said many times, and to you, that I'm excited about this move for the Sabres. But I also think you have to be careful with this stuff. He is so much older than the players, you know, like that. This kind of discipline, you would know better than I, was not necessarily push-ups, but normal in sports, you know, half of his life ago when he was playing and getting into coaching. And now it's anything but. We've had many conversations about how coaches have had to be different. And so we're going back here, if I can generalize like this, and you'll correct me if you need to, we're going back here in terms of style, and it can be a big adjustment for players. You can recognize that this is what we need as a team, or even I need as a player, but I think this can wear on guys.
Well, let's be honest with each other. I mean, what are these guys used to? They're used to being coddled, because they've been coddled by the last coach. You know, it's like, well, they're under pressure, and the poor guys, and they just signed a new contract, and that put a lot of pressure on them and that kind of thing. And Ruff couldn't care less if they just signed a new contract or whatever. And the players have said that this is what they want. None of them have complained. They've all, you know, even though they're tired and they're dead, they all kind of look at it, yeah, we put in some good work today so far after two practices. But, yeah, if you're constantly being screamed at, like Phil Housley screamed at the guys from the time practice start till time it ended, after a while it just became noise. It was nobody was paying any attention to him, because that's all he did was scream. There was just no effect to it anymore. And, you know, so I think you're right. You got to be careful that if you're, no matter what happens, and you're constantly making guys doing push-ups. Now, this push-up thing and the sprinting in two-week practice, that's the first time I've seen that. So it's not like he's doing that for every mistake, but he'll blow it down and make them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sprint back to the other end and start over again. He'll do that. But as far as what you're seeing in that picture of the pictures, the push-ups and things, that's the only time they've done it in the two practices. So it's not like he's overdoing that or anything. But he's also, as I said, dealing with players who've been coddled for the last 2.5 years.
I would add, a mutual friend of ours was listening earlier when I was talking about this and texted me to say that he's noticed this kind of thing is happening all over the league. The Sabres are not unique as a team being, you know, quote, disciplined like this. So maybe that's something to watch. I don't want to sound like, I don't want to sound at least like I think this is just a Sabres thing. But, you know, there is the specific example of what the last coach's style was and this one.
And most coaches will bench players. The last coach very, very rarely bench players. He would on a rare occasion, but it wasn't very often.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Lindy talked goalies today. You gave him a question about the workload. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I liked that Ruff said in a quote that you wrote in your article, I really feel for the most part we've become a two-goaltender league. That gave you some insight into what he's thinking, because you've made the point that in the past he wasn't always that way.
Right. And, you know, I even wrote in there, you know, we know what he did with Miller and with Hasek, but even in Dallas when he had Kari Lehtinen, he played 65 games twice in 59 games in another year. But you're right. He said, you know, he really didn't have an answer for my question because he wants to see how it plays out. He basically said, I got to see how they play. You know, how is Luukkonen playing? How is Devin Levi playing when he steps in? Those are the things he wants to see. He did agree that Levi's got to play for his development, but it sounds like in a perfect world, he might be pulling Lukanen's games back a little bit. 54 games last year, and the year before it was 33. I would say somewhere maybe in between there. I can't see a perfect split of 41 games each.
No.
You know, if Luukkonen continues to play like he did last year, but I could see maybe Luukkonen in the high 40s, you know, somewhere in there, which is only, what, 5 games less than 54. But I think they do have to be careful when you got a 22-year-old goaltender who, by the way, I thought showed great improvement last year once they did what they probably should have done the whole year and sent him to Rochester, gave him the opportunity to take the net. And if you recall, when he got there, Rochester was on the verge of dropping out of the playoffs. They weren't playing very well. He got the net. By the time the regular season was over, Rochester tied for first place. And he was playing great. He came up to Buffalo, I think, in that time, had 3 starts in Buffalo. I think played very well in all 3. And you could see the improvement in him and how much, you know, and he embraced it, and good for him. You know, he didn't pout or whatever. He embraced the – and by the time he was done, he really – I mean, I remember talking to him after, you know, when in locker clean out in Rochester, and he's going, I really got to like these guys, and I made some really good friendships here, and I love playing, you know, behind these guys. And so for a year, he really embraced it. And so I thought he improved quite a bit down the stretch and in the end of the year.
He did specifically mention Levi as the complement to Luukkonen. And I think 2 out of 3 works perfectly. That gives Levi enough action to be, you know, at least relevant. And, you know, he's working and hopefully improving. And then Luukkonen, I mean, they paid him. So it should be more than half, I would think, you know, ideally. Maybe that's where it sounds like Ruff is thinking too. Kyle Okposo retires.
Mm-hmm. That's expected, especially when you won the Stanley Cup. What more do you have? You've won the Stanley Cup. You've had a great career. You were the captain of the last team you played on other than Florida. You know, he's to an age now where, you know, maybe you're on borrowed time as a player when it comes like that. So it's good to see, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes now. If he wants to become GM type like Mike Greer did, or if he wants to become a coach, or you know what he might want to do in the field of hockey, if he wants to do anything. So we'll see, but you know, congratulations to him on a good career and retirement.
If you are restless about Garrett Wilson,
oh yeah, a little bit,
call me.
A little bit. I mean, I'm not the big I thought the Jets were crazy with this Aaron Rodgers thing. I didn't think Aaron Rodgers was all that great his last year in Green Bay. But you never know. I mean, I'm not a football scout or anything like that, so I wasn't real crazy about the idea for the Jets of saying, well, boy, you guys are Super Bowl contenders now to get him. In the first couple of games, it hasn't worked out. It worked out great for Lazard the one game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's not somebody you give up on. I didn't give up on Garrett Wilson last year when he had horrible quarterbacking. He would get you the yards and the catches.
Right.
He just never scored.
Yeah.
So he might get 9 catches for 107 yards or something like that. But that's all you got.
You take that tonight.
The end zone.
You take that tonight. 9 for 107, I would.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Anytime, right? We take that anytime.
The way passing is going in the National Football League right now, I surely would take that.
There are so many interesting stats. You know, I'm just saying, if you get sort of frustrated with him, you've got my number. You want more trades, you always say it.
I don't know if I'd use your number because I was the idiot who cut Jefferson in his rookie year because he was awful his first 2 games, and you picked him up the next year with him.
At least you didn't trade him to me. That would be worse.
I just cut him.
You just cut him. Maybe that is worse, actually. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Sabres. They have a preseason game on Saturday. It starts quickly. I still do. I'm not off the Jets. I was on them all offseason. They lost to a good-to-great San Francisco team week 1. A couple of turnovers. I didn't think it was really that bad. They got beat on defense in that game, which was maybe more surprising than anything. But the win last week, not huge or anything at Tennessee. But I like them tonight. And part of all the messaging right now with the NFL and the discussion is the teams were just like generally not ready for the season on offense. I mean, man, the Jets are a great example of that. Quarterback missed all of last year, didn't play the preseason, old, you know, like that's logical. That would make sense. Running back's great. They have 2. Like they used Braylon Allen with Breece Hall last week, like on the field at the same time. Allen had 2 touchdowns in that game, and Hall is so good. So I like him tonight. I think the Patriots finally, week 3, but just should not be on the same level. I think 6 is a fine number to give with the Jets, even though it's like the most they've been favored by in forever. For me, that's another reason to take them. Speaking of that kind of thing, Joe Ostrowski coming up at 4. Bulldog is out sick today. This is Mike Shope on WGR.